You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Duarte Geraldino. We've been looking into a number of questions surrounding the 2020 census over the last few weeks, and we've been checking in on what different community leaders across the country are doing to prevent undercounts in their areas. Today, we focus on Native Americans living on tribal lands. During the last census, they were the most undercounted of any demographic group.
Back in 2000, the undercount was less than 1%. And the 2010, the undercount was near 5%, I believe it was 4.9%. This is Arben Mitchell. Greetings from the Great Navajo Nation, Wind Rock, Arizona.
Arben is a Census Bureau Tribal Partnership Specialist for the Navajo Nation. He's also the area census manager for Window Rock, Arizona. For the past 2 decades, he's been working on census outreach efforts. Now, for certain tribal communities, it's challenging to get an accurate count. Mistrust of the federal government and a lack of internet connectivity also contribute to the problem. Another source of confusion is how to properly note tribal affiliation. In 2010, members of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma experienced this issue on a massive scale.
This is Bradley Gernand. I'm Senior Communications Specialist for the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma.
Bradley says that during the previous census, over 150,000 Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma members wrote in phrases that were not accepted by the Census Bureau.
So they might have used a couple or three different phrases or words. They might have said Choctaw, Choctaw Indian, Choctaw Nation. And then in addition to those 159,000, 24,000 of them wrote in Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. So the Census Bureau only counted the 24,000 who wrote in Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. So for the past 10 years, for many purposes, the federal government considers us, for grants and things like that, to be a tribe of 24,000 individuals. These days, our population's at roughly 226,000.
This time around, leaders from the Choctaw Nation worked to make sure they didn't have a repeat of 2010.
Our chief has been very much in the lead on this one, and he negotiated with the Census Bureau director probably in about October or November. He wrote to the director and said, "You didn't count this in 2010, but in 2020, would you count the words Choctaw Nation as being Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma?" And Dr. Dillingham wrote back and said, "Yes, we would." So we were very pleased by that. And so then, you know, as of about November, we knew what we should instruct our tribal members to write in.
When I spoke with Arben and Bradley, Bradley shared how the 2010 undercount financially impacted the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma.
We didn't understand here the causal link, if you will, between the number of individuals who submit census forms each 10 years and the amount of federal dollars that are made available to the communities or the societies where they live. We are only just figuring this out now. So in our case, we started looking at the case of one particular grant. I think in 2019, we asked for a grant. We competed for it within the federal government for money that would help mitigate domestic violence. And we anticipated receiving $1.2 million. When the money came, it was only in the amount of about $200,000. When we pushed back and asked why we got the smaller amount, we were told by the funding agency that there are only 24,000 Choctaws, so that's what you get. So we were horrified. And then when we started looking at the big picture and trying to figure out, well, what's the financial hit over the past 10 years? We couldn't even get to the bottom of it. But we know based on that one grant, which is just one grant out of many grants we receive each year, multiplied by 10, the financial damage has been significant. And that's why the entire tribe is mobilizing to try to address this issue.
Arben, you've been working for 2 decades on census efforts. This year, the Census Bureau has introduced more digital elements. Will that create any potential issues for the Navajo Nation?
I know the challenge is out there because we're not, the connectivity isn't good as you further go out into the rural area. So responding by internet is probably a challenge. And then, of course, responding by phone might still be a challenge. So back to responding with the paper might be the better way to respond. And then if one doesn't respond in those three ways, and then, of course, the census worker in May will be coming back to do the interview.
What about language barriers? Is there language barriers for both the Choctaw and the Navajo when it comes to census workers collecting information?
I know that for Navajo, we still have our elderlies out there that don't understand or write the English language. So We recruited over 3,000, and I don't know what the percentage is. Of those recruits, some still talk Navajo. They understand the Navajo language. So during our training, if we have a Navajo-speaking individual or a person that understands Navajo, we really want to utilize those people to get into the rural areas.
So, Arben, you know, there is a lot of mistrust between the U.S. federal government and tribal citizens. Do you think that that is creating an issue when it comes to actually filling out the census?
For Indian country, the majority, you know, that's probably still there, the mistrust of government. We did a lot of education on Navajo, like what we covered the first part. You know, we got most of our money is from the federal government, and we have to tell them that, you know, your account is confidential. Your information that you give us is confidential. And, you know, I think a lot of folks still think that those answers will be used against them. So a lot of education. We did a lot of education when we did the 20,000 count and then the 2010. You know, every 10 years, I think Navajo is starting to really understand the importance of a census count.
So, Brad, finally, how optimistic are you that there will be an accurate count for your tribe in 2020?
We are optimistic because we are doing major efforts to make outreach to all of our tribal citizens, regardless of where they live, anywhere in the United States, and we have them in all 50 states. I think for us, it's going to be probably a success. I worry more, though, our committee worries more about the general society in which we're living. It seems to us when we're out there talking with people that probably there was a change of attitude somehow, and it occurred sometime before the 2010 census, and we didn't realize that. And we've batted around ideas here. We think it may have had something to do with the 2008 Great Recession and all the job losses and that sort of thing that followed from that. Because by the time 2010 rolled around, people in this part of the world simply were not interested in filling out census forms. It suggests to us that the existing construct of the census might need to be reimagined. And fortunately, we've noticed that the Census Bureau itself has floated an idea for 2030 that might bridge these issues. This idea that they're floating notes that, you know, all this information they probably need exists in other federal government databases, such as that owned by the IRS or the Social Security or maybe Medicaid. And they're proposing that Congress fund them to test the idea of pre-populating the 2030 census with this data. And the idea is, in 2030, instead of conducting the census on the basis of housing units, which is the way it's done now, it would be turned on its head, and it would instead be a count of people. It would identify the people and then place them. And so the beauty of it, it seems to us, is that on April 1st, 2030, which would be the kickoff day for the 2030 census, the census would open and would already be 90% complete. The remaining 10% would require footwork to identify indigents and other people who are difficult to identify.
Thank you so much. Arben Mitchell is a Census Bureau Tribal Partnership Specialist for the Navajo Nation, and Brad Gernan is the Senior Communications Specialist for the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. You can hear all of our coverage of the census at thetakeaway.org/2020census.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.